hear me? Yeah, okay. Catherine Bailey is always trying to better herself so that she may more handily rule the world. She has degrees in history and anthropology from William and Mary, and an MA in anthropology from UCLA. She is the proud recipient of corrective eye surgery. She teaches poetry to third, fourth, and fifth graders for the Missoula Writing Collaborative, giving her a power that spans generations. She wrote and coded a choose-your-own-adventure game for smartphones called To the City of the Clouds. And if you make the mistake of defying the thinly veiled Catherine character, you'll have your heart ripped out and thrown down a mountain. In addition to all of these conquests, Catherine somehow managed to obtain a pair of hands with 100 times the normal number of joints, allowing them to bend in all sorts of crazy ways. All the better to dig for bones and artifacts, Catherine thought. All the better to rule with a genetically engineered iron fist. With these super-powered hands, Catherine manages to hold a pen and operate a computer. She uses these powers to write about the Earth, our relationship to it, and the relationships that we form while living upon it. Her characters are archaeologists, anthropologists, students, drunks, and ex-husbands, digging to connect the dots of the past and fighting to preserve history. Her characters live and work in the vivid, vast landscape of the American Southwest, and we can feel Catherine's love for this place through her writing. And she doesn't just place her characters against the background of setting. She renders them as inseparable and complex forces, always acting upon one another and bringing about change for better or worse. Catherine has published nonfiction in Zocalo Public Square and fiction in Animal Farm. She will soon be starring in Jurassic Park 5, The Last Best Dinosaur, Missoula Expands Its Tourism Industry. And now she'll read for us. Please join me in welcoming my good friend and rightful ruler of this realm, Catherine Bailey.
Canyon channels the spring water of the Ojo Caliente 4 miles from the place it pushes up through the sand to the mouth of the Ramos Irrigation Ditch. A crumbling check dam of rocks and cement gathers the stream where the canyon opens wide, and the ditch carries the water downhill from there, through creosote and cactus and past an old adobe on its way to the low desert. When Elena Ramos went down to the garden and found the water had stopped, she followed the dry bed of the ditch up the canyon until she saw where a cottonwood tree had collapsed its bank. The roots and the tamarisks that came down with it had trapped silt and leaves, choking the water behind it. She dug in her feet and tugged at the debris until her palms bled, and she returned home and phoned her grandsons to drive out and to bring a chainsaw. The adobe she shared with her husband, Manuel, stood at the end of 15 miles of dirt road. They did not receive visitors often, and Elena had set to work early on the day of the ditch cleaning to make lunch for her family the old way. She'd found it difficult to sleep more than a few hours. Manuel slept beside her long and loudly into the morning, and she'd let him sleep. She ground the chili she had hung to dry from the eaves of the porch and mixed masa and lard for the tortillas, laying them over the griddle one by one until they firmed up and browned in spots. She glanced up from her work through the open door to the porch, where Manuel stood, finally up and dressed late morning. He still stood tall after the stroke, his shoulders wide and heavy, though his left leg lagged behind his right. Since the weather warmed up, he had haunted the porch most days, peering off at nothing or watching the birds. In the evenings, he stepped through the rows of garlic and carrots in the garden, bending at the waist to pull the taller weeds, and she would come along later and dig out the roots he'd left behind. Now and again, she would see him stumble, and she lay there in bed some nights, imagining herself alone. Manuel stepped into the kitchen, resting his weight on the doorframe. "I'd say that's Jaime," he said, from the dust picking up. She did not look up from her work. She hadn't heard much from either of her grandsons in several months, and could have waited several more had the ditch not needed clearing. But Manuel had talked up their visit for days. He wanted to take them to the Apache Cave, several miles up the canyon and 100 feet of scramble up a talus slope where he ought to know his leg couldn't take him. The Apache and the Pueblo people before them had pecked and painted the walls of the cave, and years ago, the three of them, Manuel, Tomas, and Jaime, had had made their own marks, scratching their names into the smooth blackened roof. "Do you think the girls will be old enough to climb up?" he asked. "On that slope today, the rocks, it will be hot. Too hot for you, maybe, and too hot for the girls. You know you can't climb with that leg. I think they should go. They'd like to see the water that drips down the back of those caves. If there's water left to see, I guess they could see it. That seep's probably dried up now." The drought had gone on for more than a decade. The main spring still pumped out a strong stream of water through the canyon, but she wondered how much longer it would. She stood in her slippers slicing lemons. She sliced them quickly in thin, even rounds, dropping them by twos into her pitcher of lemonade so the bitterness of the peel would balance the sugar. She was in a hurry to finish. Jaime's wife, Christina, would want to help in the kitchen. "Look," Manuel said, "you can see him now." He was standing in the doorway and blocking the view. She pushed back the window curtains and saw the truck on its way up the road, clouding the air behind it. "You remember how that one was wanting some help last winter," she said, "to pay for their private schools. Now he has that new truck." Manuel shrugged. "He lives while he can." "It's too bad," she said, "that Lucia married into those gas wells. She's gone now and her son is living off the cream." Jaime spent money as easily as it came to him. Most months, he spent more than he made selling the tract houses between Las Cruces and El Paso. His parents had left him some mineral rights, and so far as she could tell, those royalty checks were all that kept him afloat. Manuel took a beer from the cooler out on the porch and moved slowly into the yard to meet the truck. Elena watched as he shielded the beer with his body, hoping that she would not see what he had taken. She let him have it. Light beer seemed harmless enough. Elena covered the tortillas with a cloth to keep them safe from the flies. Outside, the lizards on the adobe wall had retreated into the shadows of the house. In this heat, she thought, nobody would have much appetite. Jaime stepped out of the truck and collapsed his own seat forward and down. His two girls piled out of the back, looking bewildered, squinting against the sun. One continued to punch at a game console with her thumbs. Christina held on to the passenger door and lowered herself down. "This truck is not small," Manuel said, slapping his palm against its hood and jerking it clear again at its heat. "Maybe you're hauling houses now instead of selling them." "Buelo," Jaime said, catching his grandfather in a tight hug. "Como estas?" Christina shouldered her purse and shaded her eyes with a pair of oversized sunglasses. She smiled at Manuel. "Christina," Manuel said, and looked down at her shoes. "You look like you're coming to a party. How often do we get to see you with you living up here all alone?" She saw the beer in his hand. "You should be drinking water out here in this heat." Elena stood on the porch in her slippers. "Beer and sodas in the icebox," she said. "Lemonade in the kitchen." The girls came back out with glasses of lemonade and sat down, dangling their legs over the edge of the porch. Elena sat down behind them in an old ladder-backed chair. "Tomas is coming along a ways behind," Jaime told Manuel. "We met up in Animas to caravan in, but he didn't like to eat all my dust." "You're making enough to choke him," Elena said. When Tomas drove up to the house a few minutes later, Elena noticed he had put on some weight. Tomas ran a pest control company, working local jobs around Las Cruces. After 20 years, he still worked alone. Jaime said he refused to advertise, and that's why he couldn't grow his business. Jaime took a beer from the ice chest and walked over to join his brother and grandfather. The three men stood together, arms crossed. "I'll be staying here tonight if I can," Tomas said. "I've got a job in the Peloncillos tomorrow. I need to get done before the higher camps open this weekend." Jaime said, "Those camps are out of your way. It's worth the drive if I could pick up a government contract." "It's smart," Manuel said, nodding, "to take the job. They'll see you want it, and they'll hire you back. They'll need to hire someone anyway. They caught some mice with plague in a campground out near Antelope Wells." "You'll stay over," Manuel said. "We have your mother's room set up just like it was." Jaime sat down on the bed of his truck and lay backwards, disappearing from the waist up. "I thought," Manuel said, "today we could go up to the Indian cave, where we used to camp out." Tomas reached into his pocket and tossed a coin at his brother. It clanked on the bed of the truck. "Jaime, you know, we probably still have a bag of candy up there." Elena had stepped off the porch and slipped up beside the men. She placed a hand on Tomas's back. "I know you'll be busy today," she said, "but we could use some bait around the shed." "Sure, I've got some traps I can set up, no problem." Jaime sat up. "Okay," he said, "let's get on with this project so we can get back and eat. I've been hungry since breakfast." "The tree fell 2 or 3 miles up," Elena said. "You'll see where the water's backed up behind it." Tomas pulled a shovel and a chainsaw from his own truck and loaded it into his brother's. He slapped the side of the bed. "What did you do with the old Toyota? It still ran fine, I thought." "It ran, but I wouldn't say it performed." Jaime stepped over and pulled several beers from the ice chest. Tomas gave his grandfather an arm to get him into the truck. Maybe after the ditch clearing, Manuel said, we could hike up to the cave. You beat the brush as you walk the ditch, Elena said as Jaime started the engine. The snakes are thick this year along the water. Elena watched as Christina's head and shoulders disappeared for a moment into a low cabinet beneath the sink. With the food already prepared, she had offered to clean the kitchen. Now she was reorganizing her cabinets. She spoke from the floor. Don't you think he's doing well? He's happy to see the boys. Christina had a shepherd's instinct. At the hospital, she had known exactly what Elena should do. Elena should get a place in town where she could expect her to stop by once or twice a week to check in. I just think you've done an amazing job taking care of him. I know he's not always the best at doing what he should for himself. He does all right. He has his voice back now when he wants to use it. He's using it today. He sounds just like he used to. The boys are here. He wants to get up to that cave. Since the stroke, Manuel regained his speech, but he would disappear back into himself sometimes for days at a time. Elena looked out the window at her great-granddaughters. They stood on a low rise where Manuel's parents lay buried. Two skinny goats, the last of the flock that sold last year, cropped the grass growing in the shade of the stones. The girls were pulling up the grass to feed them by hand. Do you two have everything you need up here? We have our social security. You'll want to watch for spiders in that cabinet. I've had a bite down there. You've got a few cobwebs. Hand me a cloth and I'll knock them down. Don't use your hands. She handed her a broom. This year, we should have enough from the garden to do some canning. Won't have to drive to town so much. Elena looked out at the girls playing by the graves. Her own daughter, Lucia, rested in a graveyard east of El Paso, beneath a thick green lawn. She'd left home early and married young, coming back a few years later when she had the boys. Jaime first, then Tomas. She would come and drop them off for a month or two at a time, until they were old enough to hold a summer job. Jaime and I were talking the other night, Christina said. With the spring still pumping like it is in this drought, you could get a buyer willing to put down a lot on this place. Someplace that hasn't been grazed for a few years. Who do you know that's interested in selling? I know you don't like to hear it, but you should really be thinking forward to the next 10 years. You could take some of that money and put yourselves up in town. 10 years. Elena began to pull forks and knives out of a drawer. You might live another 20 if you didn't insist on living so far away. It's a 3-hour drive for us to reach you here. It's true, you drove a long way today. Christina pushed back to her feet. And we're happy to do it, but Elena, that rancher got shot not 40 miles from here. You have to think about this from our perspective. Last week, on her way back from the store in Animas, Elena got stopped at a checkpoint. The Border Patrol agents had asked her questions, checked her bags, and let her through. Elena said, how many people do you think get shot every week in Las Cruces? Las Cruces is not Hidalgo County. Christina turned and began to wash her hands. When the boys came up in the summers, Elena said, then hike up into the hills and stay out on their own. It'd be 2 or 3 days sometimes before we'd see them again. Outside, the girls had tired of the goats and returned to the porch. Elena could hear the sounds of the game console. I've heard the stories. It's good for them today, working out there in the heat. Jaime's put on a little weight this year, and I mean, look at Tomas. He has the genes if he doesn't watch himself. They sat down to eat at a long picnic table next to the garden. The spice and the chili raised sweat on their foreheads. Late in the afternoon, the air began to push out of the canyon, and Christina put her arms up to catch the breeze. Thank God, she said, the air is moving. Adela and Laura had left the table and began to spin like turbines close to the ditch. Elena waved them away from the water. Manuel had looked pale when he came back, his shirt soaked through with sweat, and Elena had put a glass of water in his hands and watched him drink. They had not made it up to the cave. It had taken much longer than they thought to clear the tree, and they found another problem when they drove up to the check dam. Silt had built up along a curve in the ditch. Tomas said they'd have to make another trip to dig it out. Maybe, Tomas said, Jaime can bring the girls back when we come to dig the ditch next month. They'd like to poke around up in the canyon. I don't know that I'd trust them up in the canyon, Christina said. Definitely not up to the cave, if that's what you're thinking. You could train them on your high heels. Get them to walk around on those, and they could scramble up to the Indian cave, no problem. Jaime, would you send our girls up there? No, probably not. Christina turned to Elena. Well, there you go, she said, and that's as close as I'll get to him agreeing with me. Do you think Manuel could make it up? Elena looked at her husband. He hadn't said a word since he came back that afternoon. He looked past them towards the ditch. She thought he was listening. He's not doing his exercises, she said. Maybe he's trying to forget how to walk again. Abuelo, Jaime said, you're not doing your exercises? Manuel looked down at his plate and scraped up the icing from his cake with a fork. He stood up from the table and walked the path slowly back to the house. Christina reached across the table, took Jaime's plate, and set it on top of her own. In 5 minutes, Christina said, we'll hear him snoring on the porch. Elena, it's a good thing you do live up here. If I ate this much every week, I'd be in trouble. I tell you, Tomas said, if I had kids, they'd be out here every summer like we were, running around till last light. Jaime braced his knees under the table and leaned back. Well, it's a good thing you don't, he said. What about that trash we found today past the tree? They have people coming up through here from Mexico, walking 3 miles past the house and dropping their trash. No way would I let my kids wander off on their own. Over the years, Elena had found many things in the canyon, most of them broken. Potsherds, the cracked sole of a shoe, tin cans. Nothing decayed quickly in the desert. The Apaches had followed the springs south into Mexico. Now the Mexicans followed them north. You used to bring me all the things you'd find, she said. You found that candle in the cave. Do you think this is the edge of the world? Tomas shrugged. It's nothing new, he said. And we didn't find much, Abuela. A bottle or two. There's public land in the next drainage. Didn't you tell us you had some lost hiker wandering up to your door one time? Abuela, Jaime said, you should think about selling. That rancher who got shot didn't run into any hikers. Wait too long and nobody's going to want to buy land like this so close to the border. I see it on the news what people are saying. It's a lot of work to keep this place up. I have trouble seeing for what. Elena, Christina said, you know we'll keep helping you as much as we can. Jaime turned to his brother. Don't you think they ought to sell? Look, Tomas said, there's no reason the two of us should have to be here to finish up the ditch. I'll be up here for work again, I should think, in the next month or so. I can take care of it, stay a week if I need to. You can't afford that kind of time off any more than I can. Elena started to get up from the table. Maybe, she said, I'll start posting help wanted signs in the canyon. I could find more help. Christina extended an arm, and Elena declined it. Tomas stood up with her. Good, he said. Maybe you can gather up a work crew, because I can be back sooner than later. I'm not working more than half time these days. I can afford some time off from my apartment. If you want to dig the ditch by yourself, Jaime said, be my guest. Right now we've got to get back. Tomas walked with Elena up to the house. Jaime got up and watched Christina start to pile the plates and bowls on the table. He moved to help her, stacking the cups into a tower. She stopped and looked at him, set a hand on his arm. Go round up the girls, she said. I'm just going to get these dishes up to the kitchen. We can still make it back by dark if we get on the road.